This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى رسول الله هدى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Today, inshallah, is going to be the last class, the 40th class of the book that we've been dealing with, the 40 hadith of the Islamic personality. Today's date is the 31st of October, 2019. That corresponds to the Islamic calendar of Rabi al-Awwal, and it's the third day of Rabi al-Awwal, Laylatul Jum'ah. Tomorrow is going to be Jum'ah, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to put all of our efforts and all of our attendance in our muwazin of hasanat yawm al-qiyamah and give us tawfiq, inshallah, to practice, call to, and to be upon what we've been doing for these 40-odd weeks. The last hadith that we're going to mention, and an athar of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith is the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him. That was collected by the Imam Muslim. Tremendous hadith. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said, "Inna shaytan qad ayyisa." And يَعْبُدُهُ الْمُصَلُّوا فِي جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ وَلَكِنْ فِي التَّحْرِيشِ بَيْنَهُمْ. The shaytan, Iblis, has given up all hope that he will ever be worshipped in the Arab Peninsula. He doesn't think, he doesn't believe, he's given up hope that people will worship him in the جزيرة العرب. But what he will do and what he feels he can do is that he will make problems between the people. He will create a tahrish. A tahrish means animosity, enmity, rancor, hatred. People are fighting. They're not getting along for one reason or another. You can imagine some of the racist football hooligans who want to fight the opposing fans of another team. They want to kill each other, harm each other. That's tahrish. Tahrish is what everybody here is going through with somebody from this ummah. It could be from your family. People just don't like you. Tahrish is what happened in Birmingham the other day, where some person was on the bus threatening people, "If you get off this bus, I'm going to stab you." And everybody just sat on the bus as they were hostages. That's tahrish. It can come as a result of words that are spoken. Someone says the wrong thing out of pocket. As a result of that, people fight. I've seen on social media how people come together in order to get married. But there's bad blood. Things have been negative, transpiring between the girl's side and the boy's side. And they even could be relatives. And on the day of the nikah, on the day of the walima, they start throwing plates at each other. That's tahrish. So we have a tahrish between neighbors. Neighbors can't get along, and the situation is escalating. Pretty soon, someone's going to get killed to that degree. Tahrish between tribes. The whole tribe is against another tribe. We have that situation in the Arab world, in Yemen, and other than Yemen. This tribe is against that tribe. This family is against that family. Tahrish. The tahrish between the husband and the wife. And that's the worst one. The one that a shaitani loves the most. As the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shaitan sends out his ansar, his helpers every day to make fitna in the facade in the earth. They come back at the end of the day and they meet shaitan on his throne, wherever that is. We're not going to disbelieve in something that the Prophet has told us about, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asks each shaitan from the shayateen, what did you do today? He said, I made a person do this. What did you do today? I made a person do that. What did you do today? I made him miss Salatul Fajr. What did you do today? I made her not wear hijab. What did you do today? What you did today? Until one of them says, I caused the man to split from his wife. He said, you the one. You did the good job. You come sit next to me. So tomorrow is going to be Jummah, inshallah. Today is Jummah. We come to Salatul Jummah. This masjid will be packed to the brims, like sardines. Going to be packed, inshallah. In the masjid tomorrow are going to be people who have drama with their wives, people who have drama with their wives, husbands, mothers, brothers, sisters. That's a tahrish. And this is what shaitan knows is going to happen, that there's going to be problems, a tahrish. Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن التحريش بين البهائم. Rasulullah has prohibited us from allowing there to be tahrish between animals. This hadith clearly makes haram dog fighting, like we have in certain parts of the Muslim world, where people raise dogs and train dogs, pit bulls, Doberman pinschers, in order to fight each other. It's popular in America. Also, cockfighting. You know, the roosters fighting each other. And they fight each other to death. He didn't allow that. Person has rams, the ram that has horns, another ram doesn't have horns, and he puts them there to clash heads. It's your responsibility as a human being who's the khalifa over those animals to stop that from happening. So that's an indication of, number one, in al-Islam, there are animal rights. But we're not going to put the animal rights over the rights of human beings. Remember some years ago, some zoo was transporting some giraffes. They were sitting down in the truck. The driver, he wrongly estimated the size of the giraffes and the bridge. He went under the bridge. Giraffes' heads hit the bridge. They both died. The whole world was upset over the fact that the giraffes died. And they were killing Iraqi children. Over 1 million people, kids, died in Iraq. No, we're not going to put animal rights over human rights, but in our deen, how many times did the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose camel is that? You're overburdening the camel. He's complaining about you. You're working him too hard. You don't give him drink. You don't give him water. And you don't give him food. Let the camel go. He supported human rights and he supported animal rights. And he mentioned in the Quran, tabarak wa ta'ala, wa laqad karramna bani Adam. We have honored Adam's children. Not going to give more importance to some animal over a human being. But that's how it is in the mentality of some people in the West. That people of color many times, people of this religion many times, their blood doesn't matter. Their blood is lesser in significance than the blood of animals. Ala kulli halin, the hadith shows, if it's not permissible for you or I to allow roosters to fight, we are not allowed to let dogs fight, then clearly we can't have a tahrish between ourselves. Something that's impossible, something that's haram. The ulama of Islam, ikhwani, there's some issue or ishkal with this hadith, needs to be understood, because I hope you're sitting there saying, but if a shaitan has given up hope of people praying in the Jaziratul Arab, we know the waqi'. There are people who worship Allah, worship other than Allah in the Jazira. In the Arab Gulf, there are Arabs, there are Muslims, people who worship other than Allah. Some of them went outside of Islam, and some of them are still inside of Islam because they worship the sheikh. They have ghulu in the sheikh. They believe that the sheikh can help. They make dua to the unseen, slaughter for other than Allah, have fear from other than Allah. That's the waqi'. We know that for a fact. People go to Mecca and Medina, and they make dua to the Nabi of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with this month being Rabi al-Awwal, the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal, they claim and believe and say that the Prophet was born on that date, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So people are making preparations to make shirk under the name and the guise of this deen. In addition to that, there are some ahadith. He mentions, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا تقوم الساعة حتى تعبد اللات والعزة. يوم القيامة will not be established until the people start worshiping Allat and Uzza again. Another hadith similar to it said, لا يذهب ليلة والنهار لا تقوم الساعة. The hour won't be established, the day and the night won't disappear until the people start making shirk with Allah. Another hadith mentioned that the women from the tribe of Daws, they will be shaking their hips at one of the idols there in wherever they're going to be living in the world. So how did the Prophet say in the hadith that we're dealing with today, Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, how did he say that Iblis gave up hope of being worshipped in the Jaziratul Arab? And over here, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, people are going to worship Allat and Uzza. No problem. No problem. Some of the scholars gave the first interpretation, and that is that all of the people who pray will never do something like that. You'll find some people who will do it. The hadith said, shaitan has given up hope that people who pray are going to make shirk, or worship other than Allah. So some scholars like Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said, this hadith, inshallah, is referring to all of the people who pray will never do that. Like the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَن تَجْتَمِعَ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الضَّلَالَ. My ummah will not be united on something that's wrong. You'll have some of them saying this thing, whatever it is, some of them doing this thing, but all of my ummah, it's impossible for all of my ummah to agree to something that is wrong. You'll find some of this ummah saying music is halal. You'll find some of this music saying you can smoke weed. You'll find some of this ummah who are saying that whatever they say. But this whole ummah won't do that. It's first interpretation. Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Salih, ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi alayhi, he gave another interpretation. He said that the hadith means, and Allah knows best, that shaytan thought, when he saw that al-Islam spread during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَدَخُلُ النَّاسِ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجَ, people came into this religion in droves and great multitudes, everybody became a Muslim in the Jaziratul Arab. Everybody became a Muslim. Shaitan looked at that situation and he thought, those people who pray, the Muslims here, they're never going to make shirk. That's what he thought, because everybody came into Islam, and it gave him the negative interpretation as it relates to him. You can't get these people to make shirk, but Allah allowed that to happen. That's the position opinion of a Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen. And there are other opinions, like one of the meanings is the companions won't make shirk, but other people after the companions in the Jaziratul Arab, they may make shirk. They may disbelieve in Allah, because when the Prophet died, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many of the Arabs apostated and they went back to worshiping God, the guys and the idols of Quraysh. Many people apostated and they went back. Ala kullin, the hadith is authentic, and the emphasis of the hadith is on the danger of infighting. Rasulullah mentioned, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, da'awtu rabbi wa sa'altu thalatha فَعْتَانِ اثْنَتَيْنِ وَمَنَعَنِي وَاحِدًا. I asked my Lord dua for three things. He gave me two, didn't give me one. One of the things that he didn't give him, I asked Allah Ta'ala أَنْ لَا يَكُنْ بَأْسْ أُمَّتِي شَدِيدًا بَيْنَهُمْ. I made dua, Allah, do not allow my ummah and the people of my ummah to have infighting and to be fighting each other. And Allah didn't give me that. As we mentioned many times, the sunnah and the way of the sunnah, that is the way of a najat. So people understand that the way the companions practice this religion is the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla wants the religion to be practiced. Not everybody believes in that. But the people who want to be on Salafiyah, they believe that. They say that. We say that. We believe that. So inshallah, the people of As-Salafi are the closest to the truth as it relates to theory. Theory. The way the companions practice this religion is the best way. But if you look at the Salafi people in the world today, Salafi people all over the world are fighting each other. And every other group are fighting each other. Every group of Muslims who are saying the truth is with me, they have internal problems between their own groups and masajid, and the problem becomes even more pronounced against other groups. So I'm saying to you right here, Salafi, inshallah, you're Salafi, inshallah. What is Salafiyah? Taking the Quran and the Sunnah and understanding and practicing the way the companions did. That's it. Nothing more. We have more than one, two, three ulama. Why are we fighting like this? Why are we fighting like this? This hadith. Walakin. At-tahrish baynahum. He doesn't like him. He doesn't like him. He doesn't like him. And people get close to Allah with this behavior. And Salafis don't have a monopoly on this. Every group has that. As Allah mentioned in the Quran. Kullu hizbin bima ladayhim farihun. I'm here to say, and I was screaming out on top of a mountain, Salafi people, this is your way from the ghulat. You are practicing wallahi billahi tallahi, the gharat of a shaitan, because you don't agree with someone. Our brother Mufti Munir is coming to this country soon, inshallah. And people start jumping up and down. He has to clarify his minhaj. What? The man made a mistake like you made a mistake. The man making a mistake, like he's going to continue to make mistakes, and you make mistakes. What are you people talking about? It's the tahrish between the people. I make a mistake, people want to crucify you. What is that from? It's not from the dawah, it's not from ikhlas. It's this issue of a shaitan. A tahrish baynahum. That's it. And it's at the expense of the dawah and the deen. Real issues to be dealing with, and all we can talk about is this. One of our Muslim brothers, he makes a mistake. So he gets caught out there, he makes a mistake. It gets so bad between the people who are giving dawah, students of knowledge giving dawah. The man is considering suicide because he's up under so much pressure. Thinking about suicide. He shouldn't think about suicide. It's better to live to fight another day. He's thinking about suicide. But the people still want to expose him, still want to destroy him. In protection of the minhaj and the sunnah? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're going to encourage that behavior for the man to kill himself because you hate him so much, because you believe he's Hizbi, Sorori, Ikhwani? This stuff, the Ikhwani, is a sickness. And it's one of the things that Shaitan loves the most. He loves it. He loves it a lot. So my call here, throughout these 40 hadith that we've been dealing with, is you brothers stay balanced beyond this kitab and the sunnah and the understanding of the salaf of the ummah with moderation and also with humility. Don't be of those people who have ghurur, too impressed with themselves and intolerant. Want people to be destroyed. Yes, everybody makes mistakes. I get all these students here. We have all these people. Let's come together 1 hour and let's go fishing for the mistakes of the du'at who I don't agree with. We're going to come out with a lot of stuff. People shouldn't be talking. We'll prove that. Shouldn't be talking. But we say no. You stay in your lane and give dawah. And you stay in your lane, you stay in your lane. I stay in my lane, and we let this dawah go forward. But at tahrish, big mushkila. So it was from the hikmah of the Sheikh Ali al-Halabi. At tahrish, Sheikh who authored this book, used to be in the eyes of some of those sheikhs who criticize him, used to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. But now when he doesn't bow down and give it the program of people with that mafia mentality, he becomes an evil person who calls to the unification of the religions. Come on. This is tahrish. You're lying on people. You're oppressing people. 15 years after statements and actions, you're still attributing things to people. It's not sincerity, Ikhwani. It's not sincerity. We got to get back on track with what this dawah is all about. And that is increasing the khayr for the people and decreasing the evil in the arm. As it relates to the religion of Islam, Ikhwani, Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated many things to get rid of this tahrish. He has allowed us to lie, to make islah between people, to make peace between people. For the sake of keeping this community, keeping families, keeping marriages together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated in this religion, that if something does happen, you have the opportunity and the ability, don't give salams for 3 days. Calm down, cool down. But after that, the best of the two of you is the one who comes and starts the salams, because you have ihsan. You're not waiting for him to be the first one. You're going to be the first. That's been legislated to keep the tahrish out of the equation. So many issues. Don't make ghibah. Don't make namima. Love for your brother what you love for yourself. And on and on and on. And that hadith by itself, as we mentioned many times, it will eradicate a lot of the drama. None of you truly believes until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. If you don't want him having a bad opinion about you based upon dhan, speculation, suspicion, bad opinion, then don't do it to him. It's simple as that. If you make a mistake, how do you want people to treat you? Then treat him the same way when he makes a mistake. So as it relates to the issue of a tahrish, you brothers are sitting there. The last thing that we can afford in this country with some of the tahadiyat that we have in front of us, these challenges, there's no time for this. It's time for beneficial knowledge, turning to it, calling to it, defending it. As for the qila wa qal, under the guise and the claim, this is knowledge and salafi and jarh wa ta'dil. This is kalam fariq. And yawm al-qiyamah, everybody's going to get what he deserved. May Allah make it easy for you guys, you millennials. I tell you, now being on the sunnah is not like what being on the sunnah was 15, 20 years ago. I came from Newcastle today. I'm doing a program up in the north, in Newcastle, this week. They have this thing that's called Black History Month here in the UK, where they acknowledge the efforts of what people of African descent, Afro-Caribbean descent, what they've done in this country. 1 month to honor that, because there's still a lot of racism in this country. So a group of Muslims up there came up with the bright idea, let's honor Malcolm X. That tremendous Muslim personality there from America. Malcolm X, rahmatullahi alayhi. I don't claim that Malcolm X had a lot of knowledge. I don't claim that. I don't claim that he was from the ulama. But I do say this, as it relates to African-American leaders in America, that man's personality has stood the test of time as it relates to how he had courage and belief in the principles that he stood for. And they want to airbrush him. They want to airbrush him out of the books of history. And that's because when he learned real Islam and he went to Mecca and then he came back to America and started calling African-Americans to the real sunnah and not the kufr and the shirk and the racism of the nation of Islam. But when he learned Islam and made Hajj, came back to America, started calling to the real Islam, that's when they killed that man. While being up there, I told them, no, today is my last day. I have to go to Birmingham because I don't want people coming to the class. We cancel this class, and then we have to do it next week. I said, I have to come to Birmingham. With this being the last class of this hadith, of this book, I'm encouraging you, brothers, avoid those people who are in your mix, and all they want to talk about is fulan and alan. Sheikh this said that, Sheikh said this, and don't be of the people who send this stuff out with this drama that's going on with people. Drama. I'm receiving text messages about people's personal issues, and they get everybody involved in this stuff. And we start washing our dirty laundry out in public. Who does that in his right mind? Allah Ta'ala is a satir, and he loves a sitr. Allah, from his name, is a satir. He covers things. And he loves for things to be covered. He wants your aura to be covered. He wants those things that should not be seen to be covered. Lady has a problem with her husband. She goes out and she starts talking about those issues to her friends. No. The Muslim knows something about his brother. Cover your brother. Whoever covers his brother's fault, Allah cover your fault. Yawm al-Qiyamah. You expose your brother's fault and it doesn't have to be exposed. Allah expose your fault. And subhanAllah, the people are making up stuff about people. The last hadith, ikhwani, is an athar. The last hadith of the book. It's not the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, but is the athar of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. May Allah ta'ala be pleased with him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was sitting with His students from the Tabi'een, and he asked them a question, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا لَبِسَتْكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ يَهْرِمُ فِيهَا الْكِبِيرُ وَيَرْبُو فِيهَا الصَّغِيرُ وَيَتَّخِذُوهَا النَّاسُ سُنَّةٌ فَإِذَا غُيِّرَتْ مِنْهَا شَيْءٌ قِيلَ غُيِّرَتِ السُنَّةُ قَالُوا متى ذاك يا أبا عبد الرحمن؟ قال إذا كثرت قراءكم وقلت فقهاؤكم وكثرت أمراءكم وقلت أمناؤكم والتمست الدنيا والتمست الآخرة بعمل الدنيا. How is the time going to be for you people? The companions have just died, and you took the religion directly from the companions, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. They told you about the meaning of the ayat of the Quran, and they taught you how to read the Quran. They taught you about the many things that happened with them and the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went to the War of Badr and Uhud, when he went to Hajj. They told you about the details of his life. We saw that, and we're giving you this information as if you're seeing it with your own eyes. You're not 1,400 years removed from the life of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're the Hamzatul Wasl, Bainahu wa Bainakum. We, the companions, are telling you what he did, where he walked, how he did, everything. It's as if you are seeing it. Not like the people here right now. We believe in it. We're trying to grasp it. We don't have the language. We were not there. There are a lot of factors and variables between us and him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that make it so that our yaqeen is not going to be like the yaqeen of the companions and the yaqeen of the tabi'een by default. So how is it going to be when the fitna engulfs you people, meaning this ummah? The fitna is going to engulf everyone. In that fitna, the older person will become infirm. And the young person, the older person will become infirm, like he's crawling, weak. And the youngster will grow in that fitna. The scholar said the meaning of that statement from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, is the old person, he grows old on innovation. He's 60, 70 years old, and he's believing in Yarmi and Khatam. He's believing in the Prophet's birthday, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the dhikr that they make. 55, 60, 70, and you come to him, you say, where's the dalil for that? He says, I don't know. So I found my father's doing. He takes food. His wife makes food. He takes that food and puts it out on the back porch, on the step, on the last Thursday of the month, and he believes, what? And then he brings the food back in and they eat the food. And he grew up on that. That's inside of him. And then when one of his sons or daughters gets the religion and she puts on his hijab, the son starts to grow his beard and try to practice it. The mother, the father, who all say, you're a Wahhabi. My son is a Wahhabi. He went astray. The other relatives say, your son is extreme. Your daughter is a Wahhabi, because they want the sunnah. So the old man grows on that. And the young person, from a very young age, that's what he's drinking. It's like the person who has a baby. And after having a baby, his wife says, I don't want to give my baby the pure milk that Allah put inside of the woman's body to help that baby to grow and develop in the best way when everything is okay. But just for no reason, she says, I'm going to give my baby cow's milk from the outside. I don't say that that's haram. But why give the baby that kind of milk when you could give the baby the pure milk of the mother? The kid is growing up on manufactured religion. Khurafat. Kissing his eyes, believing in nonsense. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, how is the time going to be when it gets like that? And then the people are going to take these things as the sunnah. If anyone changes it, it will be said the sunnah has been changed. In my masjid, since the masjid was built, they do the two adhans on Friday. The two adhans have been legislated, as we mentioned many times, by Umar radiallahu anhu. On Friday, he will send the mu'adha in the marketplace. He'll make the adhan in the marketplace before Jummah, 45 minutes, an hour before the Jummah. After that, when it was time for Jummah, Umar will come out and say, Salaamu alaikum, they give the second adhan. So if you're going to do that adhan right now, no problem. Do it like that. Send a first muadhin somewhere where the people may not hear the adhan. And even if they don't hear it, you're just going out there, you'll be practicing it the right way. But what we do in our messages, we believe doing those two adhans the way we do it. One adhan and then the second adhan, it shouldn't be done like that. So if you come and you have the ability to change that, people are going to say, he has changed the sunnah. He changed the sunnah. You combine the prayer, dhuhr and asr, four rakat, because it's raining, because it's snow, because it's late. People will say, he has changed the religion. That's our ummah today. The innovation has become the sunnah. Sunnah has become innovation. Tawheed has become shirk. Shirk has become tawheed. The truthful person is rejected, disbelieved. The one who's a liar is the one who's believed. The ulama have been put down, and the people who are not the ulama have been put up. How is that time going to be? When those people heard that, they said, Abu Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when is that time going to come? Because clearly they didn't see it. When is that going to happen? He said it's going to happen when these things happen. Number one, if your Qur'a become many, if you have people who recite, the readers of the Qur'an, a lot of people can read the Qur'an, but they don't know the meaning of the tafsir. Today, this brother, our imam and our sheikh, Zakatullah, he made some mistakes in the recitation of the Qur'an. That hardly ever happens. Barakallah fi wa alayhi. Qulu ameen. That hardly ever happens. We have people in the Saf, alhamdulillah, we have other huffaz, they corrected him. But he's a brother who not only knows how to read the Qur'an, may Allah accept it from him, but he's a person who understands the Qur'an. And we know that based upon the da'wah that he gives from the minbar, in Urdu and in English. But as for the people, they just read in, as the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Qur'an, like the Khawarij, it doesn't go beyond their necks. Doesn't go beyond their necks. Wholesale takfir and killing people because they don't have fiqh of the religion. And right now, those Qurra, they're similar to social media. Social media and the culture of social media. Everybody is a qari. Just put the regular people aside. Just look at the many people giving dawah and what they're giving dawah to and how they're getting dawah. And I don't have a problem with a person who wants to give dawah. Just stay within your means and your knowledge. But people step out of their means, out of the way. Put this one up, put that one down. Takfir, tabdi, tafsiq, whatever. Halal, haram, what? Not like that. He says, so if the reciters are many and the fuqaha, fiqh means comprehension and understanding. Those people who understand become a few. He said, and if the umara become many and the umana a few. The umara is a plural of amir. The scholar said, this is not talking about the emir who's over Qatar and Kuwait and over this country. They said that the umara here are talking about the leaders of innovation. Those people who call into innovation. The people who their people listen to them. From the Turq Sufiya. The sheikh, he says something that is clearly kufr and the people are going to follow and believe it. Someone will come and reject al-iman bi-ya'juj and ma'juj. He'll reject it. And it's clear what he's saying is wrong. But because people love him and obey him and follow him, they'll say, oh, well, it's okay. He's just given another interpretation. That's the meaning of the umara. Those scholars of the past, Ibn Battah, other than them, they said, you know, if rich people and the leaders, if they are the ones who embrace and try to spread innovation, that's when the regular people from the community follow that stuff. Because rich people, they make trends and they influence people. And people in position of authority, they're trendsetters. People listen to them. So if the umara become a lot, people who are listened to, they are obeyed when they're peddling their innovation. And the umana, the amin, trustworthy people, they become a few. And if you recall, we dealt with the hadith of the ruwaybida. The Ruwaybida is the man who is ignoble, he is insignificant, but he's talking about the affairs of the people. He's not Amin. The Umana, the Amin, they're the people who know what they're talking about. The thing is inside Bukhari and Muslim, it's really inside Bukhari and Muslim. What he said is really a true, authentic hadith. It's not khurafat, just all of these stories, people coming up with stories. We don't have time for stories all the time. We need to learn our religion. We don't want storytellers. They said that the storytellers are the destroyers of the religion. Ali ibn Abi Talib did not let people give stories in the masjid during his time, because the people would sit and there would be many. And the guy's just talking about stories about he flew over there and he flew over here and they walked over there and it's out. And the people were just mesmerized by that kalam. But they weren't learning halal and haram. Stop that. We'll whoop you for doing something like that. And then the last point he mentioned, radiallahu anhu, is that if people search for the hereafter by miserable reward, a miserable price, a miserly price, the price of the dunya. A person is looking for the hereafter, but he's looking for it through the dunya. Like what has become quite common in the culture of ar-ruqya. Ar-ruqya is from this deen. Ar-ruqya is from this deen. But how many people who give ruqya are doing it and just taking advantage of the people and just taking the money? Ar-ruqya is from the wasa'il, it's from the means and the ways and the subul. It's a sabil to the hereafter, to Allah's pleasure. And also to people's shifa bi-idhnillah. But how many people are using it in the wrong way? How many people are using it in the wrong way? So ruqya is from the deen. Reading the Quran is from the deen. Giving dawah is from the deen. I want to give dawah, but I just want money. That's all I want. I'm going to warn about him and him and him and him because they are in competition with me. If I shut them all down, I'm going to get all the money. My masjid, me as the da'i. If I get everybody to listen to me and I shut them down, don't listen to anybody else except me, my three sheikhs. Not like that, ya akhi. Nobody has a monopoly on this deen and this dawah. Not your sheikh, not my sheikh, not you, not me. Let the khayr of this da'wah al-Islam go forward. You know this thing with Malcolm X? People said, contacted me and said, if you give a talk about Malcolm X, that means that you a black nationalist. Black nationalist? Well, what does that mean? Well, what are you talking about? Yes, I'm African American. I'm proud of my heritage and who I am. I didn't come into this religion to be an Arab or Pakistani. I didn't come into religion. Remember when I came into Islam in 1986, there were some African-American brothers from Jamaat al-Tabligh. I met those brothers. And they understood and they thought part of being a Muslim is you have to start acting like Arabs or people from Pakistan, Asians. And some of them started speaking broken English. They knew English. They started speaking broken English. Right away, I knew there's a problem. I didn't come in Islam to become somebody else and take on somebody else's culture. Not at all. Not at all. So you can't give dawah to Afro-Caribbean people. You can't give dawah to non-Muslims who come to those talks up in the north, in the university, and other than that, to hear about the social issues, the broader social issues that everybody is trying to deal with in terms of addressing and eradicating. That's an innovation. Come on. Come on. What are you talking about? Brother wrote to me and told me, when I give my talk, I got to say Tawheed al-Rububiyya, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat to an audience of non-Muslims. And if I'm not doing that, I'm not calling to Tawheed. What are you talking about? Who understands that Dawah in Islam is like that? The Sunnah is like that. Hadithu nas ala qadr al-Qulim. Talk to the people in a way that they understand what you're talking about. So this hadith, Ikhwani, finishes the book, the athar of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, and the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu. I repeat and I reiterate, let's fear Allah azza wa jalla as it relates to this issue of being people who are helping to sustain and maintain this hatred that the Muslims have between themselves. Nobody here is responsible for anyone other than yourself, your children, your wife. Be in control of those people. As for what other people are doing, just try your best not to be of the people who are pulling in this nonsense and this problem. Once again, before we take your cue, your questions, inshallah, azza wa jalla, I want to remind you, brothers, when this brother comes, Mufti Munir, I encourage all of you to go and support and to benefit from the brother's knowledge. May Allah azza wa jalla accept it from us, from you, and from him. If you guys have any questions, put your question forward. Halindakum shaykh. You got to give me a break, man. I'm coming from Liverpool to here, back to Liverpool. I need to breathe right now, man. Last time we finished a book, and the time before that we finished the book, the students, mashallah, they made a nice sunnah. We used to go out to eat. Would you guys, that's why I want to ask you guys, are we going out to eat tonight? And you're dying. You guys have any more questions, man? Tfaddi ya akhi. How's your leg doing? That's a good question, my brother. That's a good question. When we talk about being united, we are not talking about being united just based upon the word unity. We cannot be united with people who are believing and behaving in a way that doesn't allow us to be united. So if a person is cursing the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, we can't be united with them. If a person is extremist, radical, trying to kill and blow people up, can't be united with that individual. Person is going overboard in politics with what these jama'at bring to the table. All of them can't be united with the hardcore Salafi, can't be united with people bringing to the table drama. We're talking about being united based upon the principles of this religion. And when we talk about a tahrish, these problems, it's not talking about you can't make an amr ma'ruf and a nahi al-munkar, enjoying the good and prevent the evil. We're not saying that. We have to give advice and we have to prevent the evil with our hands if you have the ability. Prevent it with your tongue if you have the ability. Hate it in your heart if you don't have the ability. So we're not saying, like Martin Luther King Jr. said, we shall overcome, and we start holding hands with, you know, the Rainbow Coalition. And we have the rainbow of the LGBT behind us, and we're singing together. We're not talking about that. We're talking about practicing our religion. And part of the religion is a da'wah Allah, refuting people, but refuting people with knowledge, with adab, with hikmah. Nobody say you can't refute. Right here in this audience, someone picked up something that I said that was incorrect. You have every right now to bring that to my attention. Provide us with knowledge, is with hikmah, is with adab. But when you do it without knowledge, you create tahrish. When you do it without adab, you create tahrish. When you do it without hikmah, you create a tahrish. So we look for, you know, an amr ma'ruf. We want to get to the akhirah. It's a good thing, get you to the akhirah. But you're using it for something of the dunya. You're doing it in the way that you're doing it to smash the brother out. So you try to embarrass him. You write things and you write a refutation. Refutation is from the religion. But your golden objective is to embarrass him, to talk bad about him. And you fall into his honor. So that's a good point, Akhi. It's a good point. And we always have to remember. We always have to remember this. And that is, at-tahrish, ikhwani, if you're involved in a tahrish with people, then what happens is, every Thursday, every Monday, your deeds go up to Allah. Allah accepts everybody's deeds on Mondays and Thursdays. And he forgives everybody for what they did. Except two people. The two people were fighting each other and they have tahrish. The malaika will say, utruku. Allah will say, utruku hadhaini. Hatta yastalihu. Leave these two until they make peace. A tahrish. You and your wife, you and your father, you and your wife's father, and so forth. Every Monday and Thursday. That's weekly. Every day. At Fajr time and Asr time. Your deeds go up. Every day. Those angels come down. Every year. In the month of Sha'ban. Allah forgives everybody for what he did the whole year. Except those people, they are shahna. He has ongoing drama with his Muslim brother or this family or this or that. So that dua of the believers in the Quran that they asked Allah, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Oh Allah, oh Lord, don't allow us to have hatred and animosity and rancor toward those who believe. And that's another amazing thing. that the non-Muslims are free from the activity and the energy of many of our brothers, and their own brothers are not free from the harm. The Muslims are not free from their harm. Non-Muslims are free. When you meet non-Muslims, nice adab, we have rahmah, we're easy with them, very gentle. Don't even mess with them. Your whole dawah is just regurgitating things about people to keep people busy with this tahrish. So there's no problem with that, Ahi. Good question. Any more questions, Ikhwani? Another thing I want to mention to you, I know some of you brothers are training mixed martial arts, and I encourage that. Something you should do, come up to Liverpool. We have some brothers up there who come from where Khabib comes from, and they were trained by Khabib. They all got cauliflower ears, and they're pretty serious. But the beginning of this darus, I wanted to mention, you know this thing about Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prevented us from having the animals having tahrish, mixed martial arts, when you're fighting people professionally, something you shouldn't do. That's tahrish. To box, but especially mixed martial arts, that's tahrish. Even though anger may not be in the equation, it's competition. But that whole process of trying to pulverize and destroy and decimate someone and crack his head open, break his bones, it's not from our religion. Training for it, it's a good idea. So that if anybody stepped to you and they stepped over the line, you'll teach them a lesson in protecting yourself. You have the right to do that. But being in a profession, doing that as a professional, it's not permissible. Go ahead, Ahi. If you have its and buts, and what happened? They have what? Yeah, if a person has a lot of signs, he doesn't pay attention to the signs that are in front of him. As Allah mentioned, describing the non-Muslims of the Quran and the munafiqun and people who are, you know, turning away from the truth, as you said, he said that they are deaf, dumb, and blind. If you brought them all of the ayat, they're not going to believe them. If Allah Ta'ala came down from the sky himself, they weren't going to believe Allah Azza wa Jal. So it's a case of the heart being blinded. And Allah knows best. Fadl ya akhi, sensei. Say it again. Concerning wrestling and grappling, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a prolific wrestler. And the story of his wrestling, Rukana, the man who became a Muslim as a result of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam out wrestling him, is a well-known situation. Prophet Muhammad used to wrestle for training, and used to wrestle as recreation as well. There's another hadith, Ikhwani, I want to bring to your attention that comes to my mind concerning at-tahrish. Some of the scholars said that the hadith was weak. Some of them said that it's authentic. Al-Albani said it was authentic at one time. Then he changed his mind. He said it's weak. But still, some scholars say it's hasan. Allahu alam. That hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, may Allah be pleased with him, when the Prophet told the people there's going to be a man who's going to come, and he's from the people of Al-Jannah. And that man came carrying his shoes and was dripping with water like he had just made wudu. And then after the majlis, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As went to him and said, listen, I had a problem with my father. We had a misunderstanding. Some of the scholars who said this hadith is weak, they say it's weak because of chain of narration and because of this. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As told a lie in a time that is not permissible. It's not one of the three times you can tell a lie. I had a problem, misunderstanding with my father. I don't want to go home and stay at home tonight. Is it okay if you allow me to stay with you? He said, sure. You stay with them 3 nights in a row. During those 3 nights, that man didn't get up and make any tahajjud. He didn't do anything special. He didn't do a lot of stuff. After 3 days, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As said to him, you know that day you came to the majlis when I saw you and I spoke to you that day and asked you, can I stay in your house? He said, I didn't have a problem with my father. So how is it possible? The question now is that a companion can say that. A companion would do that. It's like speaking bad about the companion, if you believe that. Plus, the chain of narration has some issues. But as I said, some of the scholars of Al-Islam say that the chain of narration passes the grade, and it is Hassan. I didn't have a problem with my father. But instead, the Prophet said about you, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you're a man from the Jannah. So I just wanted to come to see what you was doing. And when I came and I stayed with you for 3 nights, I didn't see you doing anything special. You didn't get up for tahajjud. You wasn't fasting. You didn't do anything special. He said, I don't know why he said I was a person of the Jannah. But I will tell you this. There's no Muslim that I know in this community, no Muslim. A person who says the shahadatain, the heavy, weighty, kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, and he fasts and he prays. No Muslim that I know that I allow anything to be in my heart against him. My heart is free from having envy, from having hasad, haqd, hatred for any Muslim. Show me that person in this majlis. Show me that person. Prophet Muhammad used to come out to the companions, and the man would come to tell him about another man to complain about what he did. He took my money. He didn't do me right. Rasulullah would put his hands up and say to the people, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, don't tell me about each other. I want to come out to you and my chest, my breast is clear. Salim, don't come and tell me he was drinking. Don't come and tell me he stole the money. Don't come and tell me he did this, he did that. Because once you hear that about people, when you hear that about people, people change their opinion. And in our society, all you have to do is tell someone. New to the community, you just say whatever you want to say. And that person, because of the qillat ad-deen, that person doesn't know there's a minhaj in this religion. In ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu, you have to ascertain. It's as if we think when people talk, it's revelation from the sky. As soon as they say, we believe it. And then as a result of that, we start hating people. He's what? He's a deviant? Man is a brand spanking new Muslim. He just started practicing. Allah guided him. As the Salaf used to say, from the greatest ni'mah on Allah, from Allah, is for a young person or a person who's not an Arab, new Muslim, to come to a person of the Sunnah. So he gets with people trying to be on the Sunnah, and right away they start saying, don't go there, don't listen to him, don't listen to that. And he creates in his heart hatred for people. Planted in the seed, that heart, that hatred. Any more questions, ikhwani fillahi? Tafaddi akhi Imad. Alayhi salam. That's a good question, Imad. And it actually reminds me of the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. When Abdullah ibn Mas'ud told the people, how is it going to be when the fitna comes to you? The tabi'een didn't sit there and just stop. They said, when is that? They will ask questions to get further elaboration and clarification. And they got that from the companions. Who, when the Prophet would say something, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would say to him, Ya Rasulullah, who is the Ruwaybida? And they would ask questions. He said, I made dua to Allah. The brother's question is, what are those other two things that the Prophet made dua for? Allah gave it to him and didn't give him that one. Anybody know one of them? What's one of them, my brother? This ummah will not be destroyed. The ihlak of the ummah won't come as a result of a flood like it happened during Noah's time. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. What's the second one? Anybody else know the second one? Fadda ya akhi. Huh? Good job. The second one, he made dua to Allah not to allow this ummah to be destroyed in its entirety by the non-Muslims. So the non-Muslims will subjugate people in Palestine and in Syria and in Iraq and in Kashmir and here and here and here and here. But they will never be able to subjugate this whole ummah. Will never happen. Yarhamakullah. It happened here, it happened there. But they will never be able to subdue the whole ummah. So the first one, this ummah won't be destroyed by a flood. Tsunami hit Indonesia and those areas. A lot of people will die, but other people won't die in other places like it happened in Noah. Everybody was killed. Second issue is the ummah won't be overwhelmed by an outside force. Allah gave him that. But the third thing he asked for, don't allow the fighting of my ummah to be fierce. Allah didn't give him that. That is from the qadr of Allah. With wisdom, that is with Allah. And the tahrish, he said, many hadith, will happen to the degree the murderer will murder someone and he doesn't know why did he murder him. And the one who got murdered doesn't know why was he murdered. He doesn't know. Why did you kill me? He said it would be so bad that the person will kill his uncle's son, his own cousin, his first cousin. Kill him. When the companions heard that, they said, Ya Rasulullah, will the people have their intellect during that day? Will they be like using their mind? He said, no. The intellect of the people that day will be taken away from most of them. It's going to be mental illnesses during that time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ikhwani, for ilm al nafi' and to make us of those people, inshallah, truthful in word indeed, those people who have sabr on our da'wah and sabr on the kitab and the tawheed. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa astaghfiruka.